You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Peter was wondering why Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg did not answer a text.
Read Peter's text. I didn't respond on purpose.
Yeah, so
how about that?
Yeah, because what he put in his stupid text was obnoxious and embarrassing.
Yeah, is what it was. So take that.
I got a great idea for the show.
Yeah, I'll give you a great idea.
You jackass.
Didn't I tell you that what you texted to them, that's why they...
Well, I guess you relate more to the idea of being just thin-skinned to a degree that even I can't comprehend.
Well, everybody knows I'm thin-skinned.
Right, no,
about it.
Don, I think you're on the same page as me that it didn't strike you as even a thought that would be...
I was a little surprised you texted to them.
It was very, very oniony of you.
Why?
Because you don't know how people are going to react.
The Michael K. Show.
Be top five in mornings for 15 years straight, and then you give an opinion. Oh, I already did that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Hubristic. Absolutely hubristic.
I'm good with it.
But that's my guy. I'm ride and die with him. He's hubristic, though.
So you're telling me if you... Well, you do it all the time. You make suggestions that I should go Cain is Abel.
But that's a... I mean, we're talking... We're having fun.
But you meant the suggestion.
Right.
And you, I didn't get offended. I just said no because I'm my own person. I appreciate it. I didn't get offended that you asked. No, they're wrong.
I don't think they're wrong.
Really? So you
really don't. I mean, I have Peter's back, but I don't think they're wrong. I understand they being upset.
But why would someone? What's the point of getting upset when a friend just gives you advice on something they think would be cool for what you do? What's offensive? We have to get into what the word offensive means. You mean their feelings are hurt. They see it as being judged.
Right.
They take it as a judgment that I don't like what they do. And that hurts their feelings. And then they say, mind your business. Is that trying to follow the logic here?
That's what it sounds
like. You're diminishing what they do.
Why is it diminishing? I just don't get it. So you think I should go? The only way to talk to someone is go. I got to tell you, man, that whatever you're doing, better than Stern. I never heard anything like it. This is it.
If it were me, I keep my mouth shut. I think it was an overreach.
Well, listen, we've already established. I think you're a bad teammate. I mean,
But Don, I'm not being a bad teammate here. I've got your back. I'm trying to explain to
you. No. I mean, you're being a bad teammate to them. Like, to be a teammate is to say, I think this could be even better than it already is. Well, I mean, what are we, children?
Yeah, I guess they are.
I don't mean it as a diss at all. I think honestly, anyone who knows me knows how strongly I feel about them as talents. Particularly Dave, I've been effusive about before as a talent. Listen, if they need me to puff them up and make them feel good, they can go to mommy and daddy.
Dave seemed the most upset.
He did. Rick seemed like he didn't really care. Dave seemed like he was downright angry.
Well, now you need to reach out.
I do.
You know what, Anthony? Why don't you get Dave on the show right now?
Yeah, maybe that's a good idea.
Let's get it out in the public.
Oh,
let's lift the curtain up.
No, but like I think I'm pretty good at what I do. But if I get a chance, I always seek advice. Like with my play-by-play,
that's the key, Don. You seek advice.
Yeah, because I want to know it, and that meant if somebody came to me and said, Don, I love what you do, but why don't you try this? Or why don't you do this a little different? I would welcome it. I don't think I'm perfect by any stretch in any way, in anything that I do. I always appreciate some sort of feedback. You can look at it as that he was picking at a scab, but I think that... Why would you be upset? Because what Peter's doing is he's volunteering the information because he cares. You didn't even have to ask. We're all in this together. So does a ball... Would Harrison Bader take offense if Aaron Judge went up to him and said, listen, love what you're doing, but you know, why don't you try this next time you see a fastball. I think you might be able to get more torque on the bat, maybe go opposite field with a little bit more power. Is he be like, oh my, how dare you?
Well, that is what it is.
Well, that's a great parallel, but let's look at it this way. I think Harrison Bader looks up to Aaron Judge and thinks Aaron Judge is the greatest of all time. Maybe Peter is not held in that kind of esteem to Rick and Dave.
Well, Peter doesn't make a living of making flapjacks. He makes a living doing a morning show for a long time and a successful one. So he's coming from a place of expertise.
That's if you believe that those things are true about me, Don. Maybe I should just be flipping.
You know, if Anthony Volpe goes up to Harrison Bader, I can understand. Like, kid, all right, know your role.
But you're talking about a savvy veteran going up and saying something.
This is somebody that's been in morning radio. For a long time.
Maybe they feel that they don't have that respect for him. Now, that would be wrong, because Peter's an icon.
Well, there you go. Then if there's a wrong or right, they're now on the wrong side to not respect him in the first place.
Thank you.
Now we got to the bottom of it, and I think we just had to talk it through.
Yeah, we just had to talk it out. Thank you, Michael.
Let's go inside the numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Celtics heading home, not the sure thing you'd expect it to be. Excluding the bubble, Boston is 10-11 at home over the last two postseasons. They're the only team in NBA postseason history to have an under 500 record over a two postseason span at home, minimum of 15 games. That's according to Tim Bontemps. Their 11 losses at home are the most over a two postseason span in NBA history. That's Inside the Numbers, brought to you by Eisner Amper, a leading business advisory firm that helps clients create a winning game plan from audit to tax to advisory to outsourcing. Want to be part of our team and do what you love? Visit EisnerAmper.com/careers. Okay. It was great that the Celtics showed some spine and some spunk, and they won yesterday. But I'm actually startled by the amount of people I think that they have a legitimate shot to pull this off. It's never been done before, ever.
Right.
Now, I know there's always a first time. Why this team? Why this team against one of the greatest coaches of all time? Why do people really believe the Celtics are going to win four in a row against the Heat?
They're significantly more talented.
Yeah.
And at some point, they're going to figure it out and shots are going to go down. Yeah. And you're going to now have a chance to win games. Now, I'm not ready to believe fully it's going to happen, though. As a fan, I'm saying, yes, I do believe it's going to happen. And I'm making this trip to Boston tomorrow because I believe I'm going to be part of history. But you asked the question, why does anyone think it? They think it because the fact is Boston has way more weapons than Miami does. And last night you got to see, when the shots go down, what they can be.
But you could also make the argument that every team that Miami has beaten has more weapons. And they figure out a way, not to just win, but to dominate.
But Boston is far beyond anyone they've played so far.
Well, Milwaukee.
Yeah, but with a compromised Giannis.
But you still have other great players.
I know.
But with
a compromised Giannis, the Boston Celtics are better.
A full notch better with a compromised Giannis. I mean, I don't want to go against my heart, because my heart is saying they can do this. I think it would be crazy to go out there. I got a little sick of Charles jinxing us last night, saying after the game that Thursday is going to be an absolute cakewalk for the Celtics. I do not feel that way. Do I think it's going to be one of the most revved up buildings you've ever seen? Yeah, I do. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Well, Greeny really broke it down well and logically during his show today. If you wanted to flip heads with a coin four consecutive
times. You want to hear this?
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Let him.
I was telling everyone that would listen to me, and mostly this was in airports and other places yesterday, that the Celtics were going to come back and win this series, or at least that they had a real chance to do it. And I will continue to use the tossing a coin analogy. Can the Celtics win four straight against Miami? It sounds unlikely. But in every game, they have a better than 50-50 chance of winning, because they just are a better team. So taken each game unto itself, they should win every one of them.
Because here's the logic. If I need to flip heads on a coin four consecutive times, I've got a 6% chance of that happening. However, each individual time to get heads, I've got a 50-50 chance.
Correct.
When you look at the Celtics, they've got more than a 50-50 chance of winning a game. They're better than the Heat are. Now they're going home. So right there, they already got one under their belt. Right? Now they go home. They can win at home. So, looking at it in its
that they don't play well at home.
But looking at it in its totality, it seems like an impossible feat. But each individual game, it's not crazy to think the Celtics can beat the Heat in one individual game.
Vegas, by the way, in case you're wondering, has the Celtics at -8 tomorrow night. Now, so Michael, you think there's no chance still, is what you're saying?
I mean, I let numbers tell me a little bit of a story. It's never been done before.
No. Nope.
Ever. I mean, right. I'm sure that there were teams that were more talented that were down. And I mean, I was surprised that the Celtics didn't just roll over and die last night.
But
that's
they didn't.
An arduous task to win four in a row.
Right.
And, but man, they had an opportunity early on, guys.
That's right.
That early run from Miami. Were you watching? You were watching, right, Don?
Yes.
That early run that they survived, I was like, oh, my God. It's the energy just completely started to go the Heat way. And then they managed to get into the half down 6. If you recall, at the just before halftime, Marcus Smart has a wide open 3 to cut things down, misses it. I'm just like, here we go. Second half starts, it goes up to 9. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened? Jason Tatum just started making his shot. Shots just start going down. And realistically, it went the other way for the Heat. It was the perfect storm. The Heat dropped from 43% from 3 to 25% from 3.
Now, the question then becomes, of the 110 teams since 1984 that have been down 3-0, how many of those 110 teams were significantly better than the other team in the regular season? Like, usually when you're down 3-0, it's because you're way better than the other team.
It's so supposed to be a sweep.
It's supposed to be a sweep. And so you're trying to not only overcome being down 3-0, but beat a team that's significantly better than you 4 straight times.
But
it kind of flips when the Celtics, at least on paper, talent-wise, are better than Miami. So that doesn't add up the odds. I still think it's a very difficult thing to do, Michael. But I think the reason people are a little bit more optimistic about it is because it's rare for a high seed like this, the defending Eastern Conference champions, to be in this hole.
But one thing that we might be in danger of doing, I agree the Celtics have more talent. I think we're underselling the talent that that was my issue with the Knicks too. In the Knicks series, I think they're better than we think they are. It's not just Jimmy Butler. Adebayo is a really good player. And their bench players are gritty, gutty players, so they're not terrible.
No.
It's not like Little Sisters of the Poor.
Now, to use what you talked about in the Knicks series, with every loss comes even more significant pressure that's applied to the Heat.
Right.
So, because they now become the best team because they were up 3-0. And they don't want to become the first team ever to do it. So, yeah, the Celtics haven't played well at home, granted. But as Peter said, they're an 8-point favorite. So, I don't think anybody would blink if the Celtics won tomorrow. You go back to Miami, and then it's the same thing that you applied going back to Miami in the Knicks series. They don't want to go to Boston for a Game 7 and possibly become the first team ever to blow a 3-0 series lead. So with every loss, the pressure now begins to mount. So
that was a funny.
That's a big game tomorrow.
That was a funny line from, I think it was Charles last night, that if the Heat have to play a Game 6 in Miami, they're playing a Game 7 in Miami. The idea of trying to get the win going back in Boston after losing 3 straight would be incredibly tough. So, Michael, you're right. It's still incredibly unlikely. But if the Celtics win tomorrow night, then what kind of conversation are we having?
I still think it benefits Miami.
Of course. Miami will still be a slight favorite on Saturday.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of constricting throats if it gets to a Game 7. Then I throw everything out the window. But I don't think Jimmy Butler's going to be scared going into Boston because it doesn't seem like Boston's a great home court advantage.
Well, at least this year, this series, it hasn't been.
Yeah,
In the playoffs,
they've surprisingly lost games at home that have really shocked and kind of disappointed you. But that doesn't mean that it's not a home court advantage. Tomorrow's going to feel, trust me, tomorrow will be as epic of feeling a home court advantage as we've seen in the playoffs so far. And I'll be part of it. I'm a big reason because of it.
1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phone calls. Let's go to Frank in New Jersey. Frank.
Hi, Mike. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. I have a question for you and for Don. My Yankee point, I don't think, and I know how important Judge obviously is the team, but I can't underestimate the value that Harrison Bader is bringing to that team, especially in the outfield. I mean, he's got speed. He's daring. He goes after the ball. And I really think he gives Judge a break where he doesn't have to lean more towards left center, where he can, right center. He can more stay, you know, towards the right field line. Like with that shot last night, I guess everybody held their breath when Aaron Judge dove for that ball, waiting for him to get up in a hurry. But I do think
I think both Bader and Volpe have added an energy to the team that they didn't previously have. I would agree with you.
I would agree.
Yep.
And a question for Don. In the hockey, after that full period overtime the other night, I remember DiPietro mentioned last week he was involved in one many, many years ago, probably before the lights were invented. He's so old, you know. But in any event, pound for pound, there is nobody tougher or more conditioned than NHL hockey players. I mean, it's phenomenal what they put their bodies through several times a week. It's just phenomenal. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, some of those guys play nearly an hour of hockey, which is pretty incredible. And they get 12 minutes between the overtime periods. But, you know, you can reduce the shifts all you want, guys. But some of those guys played like 58, 59 minutes. It's incredible. Usually you play, you know, maybe 25, maybe in a big game, 30 minutes of hockey in a given night. But to be able to play almost double that, it's pretty incredible to go through that.
All right, so I have another thing that Don and Peter will probably shoot me down on.
What's that?
You know, changing the minds of Yankee fans. So what we've seen of Bader so far, and what we've seen, or what we did see of Bader in the postseason, right, when he had 5 home runs, all the Yankee fans that were apoplectic over trading Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader, what are you thinking now? Again, it's hard to judge trades without years in between when the trade is made and then you decide to judge it. But, okay, he came in a walking boot. You gave away a left-handed starter, the whole deal. Yankees have also been a starter short, so you could say that. But would you rather have an everyday center fielder who plays center field defensively like a rock star, and even if he averages 250 and could hit you 20 home runs, would you make that trade, Yankee fans? The same ones that argued that it was a terrible trade. Would you make that trade?
And Montgomery hasn't been good this year, right?
No, he has not been
great. It's not very good, but I don't know what the numbers are, but I don't think it's very good. Of course, but at the time, Michael, they needed pitching.
Right.
And they traded pitching away for a guy that couldn't play for them. So you can understand them being negative about it. They didn't know anything about Harrison Bader. But now you watch him, Michael, and I don't think fans appreciate defense. It's always about offense and it's always about pitching, but you need defense. This guy is an unbelievable outfielder. I mean, he's going to get to everything.
You know what else I feel too, Don? Last year, I thought, okay, he's good outfielder. I don't think he's great. Maybe he was still a little bit tentative on the foot. He's been extraordinary this year. I mean, there were balls that got past him last year. This year, I'm not seeing it. He's catching everything.
He's incredible.
He really is a special outfielder.
Yeah, he's one of the best in the game, period.
Let's go to Danny in Long Island.
Hey,
Danny.
Off to a blazing start, gentlemen. It's great when it's a talk show wrapped around sports because I got a lot of questions here.
Okay.
First of all, Peter, I didn't get my wedding invitation yet either, and I believe I was at the table with the callers. I was scheduled to sit between Ira and Dick from Manhattan.
You wouldn't get a word in.
Between
the three of you, the table would explode.
Ira's dead, too, especially since I heard him this morning, so something's going on. Wow.
We'd be at table 20 next to the speakers, you know, far away as possible. What is that? When you walk into a wedding and that's where you're sitting, what is that?
Yeah, no one wants to hear what you're saying.
I'm guess number 199 of 200, you know, it's basically. As far as the woodshed, let me get this straight. So my wife committed a hideous crime.
Yes. Right.
I'm taking the hit for her.
Right.
What does that say for her that she's sitting there eating steak while I'm about to be electrocuted?
You're somebody's
girlfriend.
She's
not going
to
say a word.
You're being abused in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does that say about the woman I chose to love? She doesn't love me, obviously.
Well, I think she's kicking and screaming, but the question is that you could take the bullet. I mean, I'm sure she doesn't want you to, but you're doing it. You're insisting.
But she's letting you.
She's letting me, though.
So she hates your guts.
She's looking for the bank books at that point.
Why do you got to make what really would be a beautiful gesture into something just about money?
And lastly,
everything's about money. George Young said it.
And lastly, when I go back in time, like Don said, and I meet my parents, I walk in as a 58-year-old pot-bellied man. Mm-hmm. If my father doesn't shoot me at that point because he thinks there's some kind of a freak just walked into the living room, am I allowed to at least slip him a list of all the Super Bowl winners for the next 50 years so I can drastically improve their lives?
Come on, you've seen what happens when you do that. Come on, you know
slippery slope.
You know better than that.
Well, so I'm not allowed to reveal any information that would improve their lives.
What are you, the Gray Sports Almanac? You can't do that.
Why not? Biff did it.
Yeah, you saw what happened to Biff. He ruined Spring Valley.
I just want to look at my father and say,
or Hill Valley.
Take the Jets against the Colts and the 17 points. I just want to whisper that in my own man's ear.
All you have to do is give one game. Danny, I agree. And that's also an incentive to go forward. Just find one thing. Just go forward one day. Find out the Yankees are going to beat the Orioles by 11 runs.
But you don't have to waste that. You could do it on something. You could use that time better and just listen to what Don said yesterday. He guaranteed. He's not gutless. He guaranteed. Yeah. He said if you have a life savings, put it on the Celtics. Guaranteed.
After you left, Michael, I guaranteed.
I said I need you to guarantee it. We played the hardwood music. He guaranteed it. We haven't heard from anyone yet who made money. And because by the way, how the Stars
do? They don't trust
the Stars embarrass themselves.
Maybe they don't trust Don with Wood.
Oh, wait. Sorry. Hold on, Michael. I didn't hear this part. The Stars what?
Well, it wasn't a secret. It was in all the papers. They lost 4-0 to the Vegas Golden Knights. They embarrassed themselves in every way, shape, or form. The fans threw stuff on the ice. It really was disgusting. Listen to Game Misconduct where you get your podcasts. I thoroughly embarrassed them.
So I guess what I'm saying is the reason we haven't heard from people making money is because they might have bumped the parlay.
Yeah, they went with the parlay. But the thing is,
the Celtics was the guarantee.
I guaranteed. Because again, I speak with conviction, unlike some people on this show.
Oh, you're insinuating I don't?
Oh, you don't.
Oh, my God.
Jerk.
Because you guarantee the Knicks, but you wouldn't say guarantee.
I didn't guarantee it.
You said they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm very familiar with the language, and I use it.
I don't think you do, but you get a little scared, a little timid about just throwing the word guarantee.
Okay,
let's
say I guaranteed it, right? And it still turned out the same way. What's the difference? I gave bad information to our listeners.
All the listeners are asking, are you speaking with conviction? Are you willing to own it? It's like vouching for somebody, right? Like, you vouch for this guy. I'm saying he's a good guy. No. Do you vouch for him? I'm telling you is that if... No. Do you vouch for him? Yes. Okay. I guaranteed it. So the listeners want to know, how much conviction does Don have behind this Celtic pick? I guaranteed it. And I was right. And if I was wrong, I'd be sitting right here telling you that I'm a yo-yo.
Well, I was wrong, and I said I was wrong. I mean, what more do you want from me?
I wanted you to guarantee it.
No, you don't get what you want all the time, do you?
Well, just admit that you're weak.
That's why Mr. Jellyfish, would be sitting on death row for something Nancy did.
I'm not saying I'm a better talk show host. I'm a stronger talk show host than you.
Oh, my. You might be a better person, but I don't know if you're a better talk show host.
Definitely a better person. What about a stronger? I speak with conviction.
You know what? If you get off on screaming, then okay, yeah, you're the guy.
No, wow. A listener who we know, someone who we know well enough that they have my phone number, texted and said, made $5,000 off the Celtics last night at +2. Thanks, Don.
Oh, very nice. That makes me happy.
$5,000.
By the way, quick note to amplify what we're talking about. Jordan Montgomery, great guy, by the way. 2-6, 4.55. Who are you taking? Montgomery or Bader? Why don't all of you who rip Cashman, call him up right now. Call the stadium line and apologize to Cashman. Bader doesn't look so bad now, does he? Does he? Everybody who reacted the way they reacted. Snap judgment. Awful trade. Guy's in a boot. Look how great Montgomery is. What are you thinking now?
So that's think how this would hit differently if last year Michael guaranteed you that the deal would work out.
But he didn't.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Come out and see DiPietro and Rothenberg live on Thursday, June 1st, starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset for a special pregame broadcast and music from Randy Zoo. Just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field and tailgate in Lot F before the matinee game. It's the pregame party with Rick and Dave, brought to you by New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the Window and Glass Dealers Association of New York, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey.
Well, why would I mind you reading that?
Because I know that there's friction between the shows.
You think I don't want them to? You think I don't want people to support their show just because I think they're being sensitive?
That's why he said what he said.
Because I want people to listen to the show.
I understand, but I you're a very sensitive guy. You try to make yourself out not to be.
Well, listen, apparently I'm not the most sensitive guy.
That's right.
I did not bring this up with Don and Peter because I wanted to get a true visceral reaction.
All right.
On the air. The NFL, what are you doing? This new kickoff rule, Don, are you kidding me? Oh. Are you kidding me?
Can you tell me more?
Well, now, any ball that's put in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line, if there's a fair catch or a free kick behind the receiving team's 25-yard line, it will be put at the 25-yard line. So I've always been advocating, I know Mike Westhoff did as well, I didn't understand why teams always kick the ball out of the end zone. I would have my kicker learn to kick the ball to the 5-yard line, let my defense start the other offense at the 10, make a tackle, 10, 15. Why give him 25? Now, if you try that pooch kick,
right?
And the guy fair catches it at the 15, fair catches it. It goes to the 25. What are we doing? Why don't we eliminate the kickoff, Don?
Well, that's what they're doing. And it's actually, when you think about it, it's actually brilliant by the NFL. Because 6-7 years ago, when the mere suggestion of getting rid of the kickoff, people went nuts. You can't do that. You're taking a foot out of football. You got to have kickoffs. So they changed the rule where 90% of them are kicked out of the end zone. And now if you're really good at what you do and you can place it at the 5-yard line and have it work to your advantage, now you can fair catch it, put it to the 25. Now they've got the same fans who flipped out about getting rid of the kickoff, begging for it to get rid of. So the fans are now asking for it to go away. And that's what's eventually going to happen. They're going to do this for a couple of years, and then they're just going to eliminate the kickoff.
But the thing that bothers me, how unbelievably hypocritical the NFL is. They'll do Thursday night games. They'll flex Thursday night games. But they say they're doing this for the health of the players, the goal of improving player safety. There's not a coach that wants this to happen. You're taking away what football is. Why don't we just start every single drive? Here's the ball at the 25, like we used to do in the playground. Here, starts at the 25.
Right. This is what Michael Kay and Don LaGreca would call half pregnant. Make up your mind here.
But I think Don's right. They've made up their mind. They're just easing it out now.
They're just easing it out.
Well, no, they want to make you feel like you made the choice.
Right.
Right, exactly.
So real quick, I'm trying to gather. So if there was a bizarre short kick that somehow traveled at a speed fast enough that the coverage team wasn't there yet, and you received it like maybe at the 10 to 15 yard line, maybe you'd return that back.
Right. I mean, you still have the option of returning it, but...
But I'm just thinking of when you would. Right. Like, are you going to do it at the 5?
But if you go back to the Chief-Bills game, the feeling was they should have pooched it because then you at least get a return and take some time off the clock.
Right.
Now that's not going to happen. Now you're just going to fair catch. You're going to get the ball to 25. So you won't even bother to try at that point.
What if you super pooch it to the 35 and they fair catch it? Do they go back to the 25?
No, it's got to be inside the 25.
See, inside the. See, Peter just added a little nuance.
That could have made it fun.
Brilliant.
Right. But they didn't do that.
There is a punishment for, that's like, listen, 25. You want a fair catch it. It could be to your advantage. Could be to your disadvantage. It's going to go to the 25. But I'm telling you, another 2-3 years from now, we're going to be sitting here getting ready for the football season and talk about how there's no longer any kickoffs. You score a touchdown. The other team gets the ball to 25. Let's go.
Now, the Devin Hester never existed. The only reason to eliminate kickoffs, right, is the only thing I can think of is for player safety, but then they're so cavalier about player safety otherwise.
Oh, well, they throw player safety out to make it look like they actually do care. But you know what?
I think they just worry about people getting injured.
You would rather
not
have...
Not that the person's going to like be injured and really affected.
If you really cared, you wouldn't have Thursday night games. They have Thursday night games. I mean, right. As dangerous as football is it really that dangerous as compared to having to play 3 days after you just went through a war on a Sunday and then have to play on a Thursday? So give me a break on that. It's silly. And I got more news for you.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Eventually, we're going to get to a point where there's not going to be any more punts.
Yeah, because there's a safety aspect with that, too.
No, well, no. The analytics will tell you 4 downs is better than 3. So I'll just keep going forward on 4th down. Sure, sometimes I'll fail, and my defense will stiff, and I'll give up 3 points. But why am I giving up a down?
It's but I don't mind that, Don. That's being smart.
Right. But I mean, I don't know how smart it is, but analytically, like what, a 3's are better than a 2, so everybody's taking a 3's. So I could see a world where, unless they're pinned at their own goal line, but you're already seeing it now, Michael, teams going forward at their own 40-yard line. That never happened. Now you're going to start to see to where there's the only time there's going to be any kind of kicker is for field goals. There'll be no kickoffs, there'll be no more punts.
Now, this is a rule that they've had in college for a long time.
Yeah.
Last couple of years. I don't like it. I don't like it in college, and I'm not going to like it in the NFL because there's nothing more thrilling, I think. I mean, what was it, Devin Hester in the Super Bowl? To bring back a kick and for a touchdown.
Well, Devin Hester was one of the greatest to ever do it, and now
it's gone.
We're
never
going to
see it again.
And listen, it was never going to – once they went to where they kick off and it going through the end zone, it was never going to happen anyway. So I really don't mind any of this. Get rid of the kickoff. It's not doing anything. But since they changed the rules, Michael, they took one of the most exciting plays in the sport. A guy that had a kick return for, 105 yards taken out of his own end zone. Those days are over. Most of the time, Michael, they kick it so far, I'm surprised they haven't implemented a point system. Where if you kick off and it goes through the goalpost, you get a point. Like, they're kicking it out of the end zone.
By the way, why don't they just do that?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Would that not be?
I know that you're very close with him. Text Westhoff, see what he thinks about it. He's probably throwing up in his mouth.
We speak every once in a while.
Right.
And I read his book, and he was in studio last summer. He's sick. He was not even close, the best special teams coach ever. He was sick before this. Because he wouldn't take a job as a special teams coach if they offered it to him, because there's nothing to do. He was formulating plays. It's all gone now. It sickens him. So this will make him even more sick, but I can't imagine he'd be any more disappointed than what they've done in recent years to all the different special teams, Michael. This guy was brilliant, and they've really left very little for somebody like him to do.
Yeah, it's awful. Awful. I just wanted to bring it up. We didn't have time yesterday. It's a joke. Very quickly, Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers. According to Brian Hoke of MLB.com, Josh Donaldson expected to begin a rehab assignment tomorrow in AAA, so he could be back shortly. And Hoke said the Yankees, this is his unofficial guess, the Yankees will have both Josh Donaldson and Giancarlo Stanton back by June 2nd at LA against the Dodgers. So you have that. Another one, and this is not a New York baseball thing, but Garrett Whitlock, the guy that the Red Sox picked up in the Rule 5 draft against the Yankees, he was a reliever, pitched well, he's had some arm problems, but they love him as a starter, coming off the IL, and he's replacing, get this, Corey Kluber in the Red Sox rotation. Corey Kluber is going to the bullpen, a 2-time Cy Young Award winner, who in 2020 pitched a no-hitter for the Yankees. He has been really bad for the Red Sox, and he is going to the bullpen. So those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. Right, let's go to the phone. See what you're thinking. See what you're thinking. Let's go to Gabe. He's in church. What's up, Gabe?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
How are you?
Always a pleasure talking to you. I'm good. I have a Yankees point and a Peter point specific to the Dave and Rick situation. I'll be quick on the Yankees thing. It's just I used to be, you know, championship bust. I think I've officially jumped off that train. I just enjoy watching the team now. I think seeing the joy that Volpe has and Judge, it's just fun. And my expectations are what they are. But I just enjoy watching the team, and I would, encourage all Yankees fans to do the same.
Cool.
My Peter point is, yeah. I've mediated and been a part of a fair amount of conflicts, and here's my thoughts. I think if you're somebody who is giving critique and encouraging people to do better, I think you're usually doing that out of, you know, love and encouragement because you are friends with these people. And if you're somebody who cannot take criticism and cannot receive criticism, that's usually because you don't consider the person who's giving it a friend. Mm-hmm. And so I think, mm-hmm. Peter, you know, with all due respect, I would tell you to just kind of maybe consider ditching Dave and Rick from your circle of friends. I think they can't receive it from you because they don't consider you a friend anymore for whatever reason. Just go your separate ways, live your life, you know, don't worry about them, you know, don't keep them on the extra list for the wedding and you know, live a good, happy life. Oh,
very strong take.
Gabe, that, Gabe. You know what? Call anytime, Gabe. There's a man who makes sense.
A lot of sense.
I don't know if they don't, I think it's even deeper, Peter.
Go ahead.
Not that they don't consider you a friend. I don't think they have any respect for you.
Well, so that would go then, that would also include the friend part then.
Maybe.
But you're
I'm friends with people that I don't have respect for.
But you're saying it goes beyond that.
Right.
It's not just that they're
I also think the wedding thing is a burr under their saddle, I believe.
I'm really starting to believe it has nothing to do with it.
You now think less than it
I
has?
I think that's a bit. I think this stung them. And the caller made an excellent point. If you respect the advice, if you respect where it's coming from, you would have no problem with it.
But they obviously have no respect for Peter or anything he's
asked. I don't know why that would be the case. Huh. Peter's been nothing but nice to them. Honestly, Peter has to take the abuse that Rick gives him. Peter doesn't send it back his way.
No, never do, because I'm too classy.
And think about it. So Peter was listening to this show when he should have been doing his show on Hot 97.
That's how much I care about their
show. That's how much he cared about them, and then sent them a missive, this could really help your show, and they didn't even deign to return the text.
Not only that, they were offended and angered by the text.
Yeah, you could hear it in Dave's voice. I know, Dave, we're close.
Didn't it sound like he was very angry?
Oh, he was very angry. I don't know if you get up from under this, Peter. I don't know.
I don't know if I want to.
No, he'll be fine.
Well,
he's at the stage of his life he should be pruning the tree.
Thank you.
I've been telling you that, too, and you're much older than Peter. I pruned the tree. It's bare now.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
I'm listening to Barton Hahn driving into the stadium today, and you find out about people's spines. You really do. So Tom was doing the board for Alan's show, just as he's doing the board for our show right now.
Sure.
And Alan was going through, for some reason, all the people at the station on Twitter and who follows whom. And he was really annoyed that Tom doesn't follow him. And Tom doesn't follow me either, but I understand. Maybe he doesn't like me. But Alan took him the task on the air. Tom didn't back down. Tom said, I don't want to follow you.
Wait, this Tom?
Yeah.
I didn't know Tom spoke.
Well, Tom speaks, and he spoke very well, too. Am I right, Tom?
Yes, I did. I appreciate that, Michael. Thank you.
He just said, and Alan said, well, will you follow me now? He goes, I don't think so.
When did this happen?
It was today, before about 1:30.
So what is your handle?
My handle?
Yeah,
that's right.
At TommyB369.
We're going to need what that means.
Just a nickname of my name, first initial, last name, and then 369 is just a favorite combination of numbers.
Oh, now we know what your PIN number is on your ATM card.
Whoa.
Oh, you wish.
Now you just got it. Oh, see? This is good stuff.
He's got some spunk. See, you look at Tom, and he looks like, you know, innocent, but he's got an edge to him, which I love.
You know what I love? He doesn't follow me either, and I respect it. I respect it so much, I'm following him. Don't even follow me back. I don't need it.
Tommy B369?
That is correct.
I love it. Yeah. Really.
By the way, I may be blocked because nothing's even coming up. Tommy.
Yeah, I can assure you that is not the case.
Tommy, TommyB369.
That's correct.
And he has 448 followers, so he's not like one of those guys that just doesn't want to follow people.
Right. Well, no. How many? But it's not coming up for me. Is that weird?
I think you're blocked.
I think I'm blocked too.
That's troubling.
Tom has followed RJ and Ray. And
I know my Twitter's not working. So.
But he didn't follow. And so Alan said, how about, Tom said, what do I get if I follow you? He actually was negotiating on the air. And Alan said, well, I'll retweet your follow and 100,000 people will see it. And you know what Tom said? Yeah, I'm good.
I'll tell you what, I don't want to bring it up, but I love your blocked game. I love it.
Really?
Love it. It's in lockstep with mine.
How do you know? You can see people's blocked.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking. I'm all over him.
Wait, you can see who people have blocked?
No, I'm looking at his. I'm looking at his followers. Oh, you know what? No, I'm sorry. These are people I've blocked that he follows.
Oh, no. Yeah. So it's the exact opposite of what you thought.
Yeah, now I'm disgusted with him.
Oh, my God. That went south quick.
Yeah, it really did. I wasn't paying attention. You know what? You know what, Tom? I don't care if you follow me. You better be blocking those people.
There's some people who should be blocked.
Yeah.
He's not following me, in case you're wondering.
I love this. He doesn't follow anybody.
I will follow you guys. I like it.
Because you guys are taking this in a very nice approach, where Alan was being very judgmental.
And a bully.
He follows RJ.
And Peter, the beautiful thing about Tom, he would not back down.
Good for him.
Alan was like putting on some heat, and Tom just doubled down. He hung on the rim. He goes, no, I don't think so.
Does it bother you that he follows Pat O'Keefe and not us?
No. Listen,
he follows Dan Grasso and not us.
Well, that might rub me the wrong way.
That's starting to get hurtful now. Easing in.
But he probably works with Dan more.
It's easing into hurtful. That's what's happening.
Nah, I'm good because I like his funk.
I do too.
Him negotiating. Like by the way, him negotiating with Alan, Michael.
Yep.
It reminds me of last week when cousin Greg was trying to negotiate with Shiv.
And she just completely shot him down.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, Alan was cousin Greg in this,
who
in
knew?
This scenario.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Wow.
When he dropped, I'm good. I mean, Alan had no pants on at that point. He was nude.
It was sad.
It really was.
Wow.
I just love the spring book vacation. I love that. I love that move, too. That's a great one.
Who's
from
doing that?
Bart. Good thing. Imagine if we tried that. They'd be drawn and quartered.
Let's go to the... Well, Bart could do anything. Yeah. First of all, you know, our pinhead suit loves him. And he's a football player. We never played football. And he's a Jet.
Oh,
former Raven.
A Jet?
He's a current Raven.
Wow. I mean...
He's charging it.
Some of these guys...
He once yelled out... Can't wait, and that's it.
Well,
you know how Andrew followed and always kept close to him the Kate Upton Sports Illustrated to kind of calm him down?
Yeah. Is that what they call
it? There's some pinhead suits that's the Jets for them. Yeah, say exact same vibe. Jets.
They love it. Love it. And I love it. Let's go to the phones. Here's Harvey in Albany. Harvey.
Hello.
What do you got, Harv?
Show me something.
Harv man.
Harvey man.
Harvaruski.
Harvarino.
No, you're out. Let's go to Noah in Jordan. Is that Jordan
Hello.
In the Middle East? Wait, is that Jordan in the Middle East?
No. No, upstate New York.
Okay,
got it.
15 minutes left to Syracuse.
Not as exciting, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, the Yankee fans who say they're done with the team, it reminds me of the movie Major League, where you got the fan out in the outfield who's just miserable and berates the team all year long, and then when they win at the end, he says, I told you, I knew it all along. That's what it kind of reminds me of. But I think for reasonable fans, I think where the frustration comes from is, you know, you have an exciting year last year with the great start and Judge, and like so many other years before, you get to the playoffs and then they play Houston and they get 10 hits in four games. Houston scores more runs than they get hits, and they go out pretty gutless. So I don't know if it's the way they're building their team. As far as Boone goes, I've seen managers who I think are a lot better, and I've seen managers who I think are a lot worse. But Cash was not learning from any of these mistakes that he's been making for 20 years with guys like Pavano and Kevin Brown. And I told everybody, stay away from Rodon. I got criticized, and it turned out worse than I thought. Not only
you've got to let that breathe, too. So what happens if he comes back in a month and is just lights out for the rest of the year? Can you say that that was the wrong signing? I don't know if you could say that. So far, it doesn't look good, but it's not an arm injury that's keeping him out. It's a back injury.
You are taking a lot of the fun out of sports radio right now.
How so?
Well, because you can't let everything cook. Right now, it looks like a disaster. Yeah, it could turn out to be good, but what, the fans got to sit on their hands? Well, we've got to wait and see, because maybe 3 years from now, who will win a Cy Young?
Well, but
no, in real time, it hasn't looked good.
But our caller was hanging on the rim saying, I said at the beginning when the signing that was awful. You can't say it was awful yet.
It's been awful.
I mean, you know what? You know what's awful? Frankie Montas trade. Awful.
Yeah, that's awful.
There's no other way to look at it. Because that's it. Even if he pitches in September, he's going to be a free agent. He's going to be gone. So you traded all that talent for a guy who didn't help you at all. But you have Rodon for 6 years. What if he helps you win two World Series? And he's injured the other four. Is it worth it? So I'm not trying to take the fun away from sports radio, but I understand we have to judge things in the moment, but we also have to be rational, too. Rational's fun. Give it a shot.
Nah, I don't think rational's any fun. Rational's boring.
Wow.
Don't you think so, Peter?
Do I think rational's boring?
I mean, it's effective.
Don, I'm effectively spending over $1,000 to get to Boston tomorrow to see the Celtics play in a Game 5 down 3-1 by myself.
Can I ask you a question, Peter? So you're spending all this money, right, to go to Boston.
Well,
just drive there?
I did it with points. I want everyone
to know. But why don't you just drive there?
Natalie has a work situation on Long Island.
Right.
And I am not going to put her out because I'm going to gallivant for a Celtics game.
That's mad.
You know what it is, Don? It's sort of the equivalent of the electric chair.
Right, yeah. Because
Let's be honest, volunteering to fly these days is basically taking the electric chair. That's what I'm doing tomorrow for Natalie.
That is love. You know, if I've ever doubted the love that you have for Natalie, I don't anymore.
And it's a short flight. There is no first class. You know, you're just stuck in blue.
These are puddle jumpers.
In blue plus, whatever that means. It means nothing.
Let's take a brief time out. That means something.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.